Hi everyone, Sandman here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Dr. B. Real, the author of the two-volume book series called Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism. This is the sixth chapter in his second book. This one discusses the conclusions he's reached with regards to his stroll down feminazi lane. His name is Bob, and he says that writing these books has been one of the most draining experiences of his lifetime. It's tough going. I wrote 5 3-4-page sections for my book so far, and it's been extremely draining, because I'm trying to inject a lot of humor. But anyways, Bob says there's no place to hide in this world from fourth wave feminism's political movement, and he brings up the top 10 worst points that prevented him from finishing his book a lot sooner, and that upset him the most. The first one is the degradation and destruction of the armed forces in Australia, as well as around the world. He discusses how they've been subverted by feminists to get the armed forces to pay for breast implants and IVF treatments. This is also risking countless lives, as well as the lowering of physical fitness standards to get women into the army, which is undermining the legitimately earned positions in uniform that many men and some women have received. He says that undermining the armed forces undermines national pride, and in doing so, the enemies of the West will be able to easily defeat soyified and demoralized Western nations. The next point he brings up is planned single motherhood. He says that society accepts it without question, but also funds it without limits. The cost simply gets passed down to somebody else, usually a male taxpayer instead of the self-entitled mother. Plus, single mother households create more kids involved in crime, drug addiction, and poverty. Those, of course, are future left-wing voters, but also an eventual collapse in the welfare state. But the welfare will never end. There'll just be new taxes introduced on the upper and middle classes to impoverish them and ensure socialists win from then on in. His third point is the unchallenged violence and fraud of women against men, other women, and children. Bob brings up some of the women that are recently caught hiring hitmen to get rid of their simp husbands. He points out that violence from women against men is not punished as severely as it would if it flows from males to females. He brings up the case of Jasmine Fry puncturing a guy's skull in an attack and walking away free with no conviction. The women also get away with doing terrible things to their kids because of things like postpartum depression. The fourth point is the suppression of freedom of speech. I know all about this one too well, as a woman with a feminist-sounding name shut my Patreon page recently for hate speech. That's how fourth-wave feminists were able to get around the free speech amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Bob brings up how you're not canceled only online, but people like Roosh V were completely canceled from coming to Australia to have their talks. A man's freedom of movement, in addition to his online presence, are being canceled now. People in the right are being banned from entering woke leftoid countries. This is similar to the days of communism in the Soviet Union, when capitalists were banned from entering because they were afraid their ideas were subversive and would spread to the population. You know your ideas are bad when you have to ban critics from criticizing them. I'll discuss more in a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Profit Specialist Group. Why let some woman use her points to fly her dog to Fiji first class? If you're a business owner, stop paying for your customers' reward points, bonus air miles, and cash back. Robert Rivera is a fellow MGTOW that helps businesses that take credit card payments get rid of those fees you pay to the bank. If you're accepting credit cards, he can save your company $6,000 or more annually on the fees. Watch the tutorial video or visit the Cash is King CC website. The sponsor links are in the description. Anyways, now back to triggered women closing their countries from foreign men and women with the wrong opinion so they don't have to hear naughty words Clown World show. The fifth point that pissed off Bob was the universities are now creating poverty, stupidity, and unrest. Of course they are, with all the student loan, master's degrees in basket weaving, and unrest because they're turning their students into social justice warriors. The professors are there to undermine Western civilization and not make their students employable. They're turning many of their students into thought police with face tattoos. That the purpose of education is no longer about developing minds to help society, but to hurt it instead. To take down capitalism, democracy, and free markets. All that, of course, because the Soviet Union and most communist countries failed to do the job. So now it's up to the brave socialist professors getting a government salary to keep the revolution alive. These people, mind you, many of them have never had a real job. The funny thing is that the actual workers that make things in our society are voting for the right and Republicans, so the left is letting in women and minorities into the universities and weaponizing them against the white as wonderbread male workers that keep civilization a-humming. It seems that now the productive are the oppressors and the unproductive are the victims. The sixth point he brings up is the use of children as ammunition for an adult's political, financial, and social gain. He brings up a case of Australian Senator Sarah Hanson-Young, where she was parading her own 11-year-old daughter on national television to prove to the audience that her mother was not a slut. She was using her own child inappropriately to claim that she was the victim. Bob also uses the example of Serena Williams using her own daughter as an excuse as to why she had a tantrum during a tennis match. Can you just imagine how horrible her kid must have felt because of it, and probably was embarrassed? Her mother probably told her she went bananas for her, but her daughter probably only felt that embarrassment. All that in the name of fourth wave feminism, it seems. The seventh point Bob brings up is that modern feminism is paying women or non-straight men to commit fraud. He uses the example of Jesse Smollett hiring two black men to beat him up so he could claim victimhood status later on. He also uses the example of Brett Kavanaugh, where he was accused falsely from 3 decades before with no evidence. He uses other examples of false allegations with sexual assault and how women are encouraged to make such claims thanks to Me Too, one of the cornerstones of modern feminism in recent years. He also talks about journalism fraud. Bob shares a story written by a female reporter from Rolling Stone magazine. She claims to have been struggle-snuggled by a gang of men that banged her without any evidence. After that, the frat house the so-called bangers were from was vandalized by white knights, no doubt. The boys were all suspended from university and their lives were on the path to ruin, all from a false accusation from Rolling Stone magazine. This allows them to create a story out of thin air with no proof, and then write many follow-up articles that claim that they weren't responsible. The magazine later apologized for failing to verify the facts from the lying accuser author. Odds are they were probably only sorry they got caught. The author Sabrina Elderly didn't face any legal or social ramifications, or even lose her job for writing a hit piece potentially ruining the lives of many young dudes. You can see how feminist activist journalists get drunk off their own queefs and abuse their feminine power even if they're bull dykes. How can anyone trust the lamestream media to do the right thing after stunts like this one? Rolling Stone was once a respected publication back in the 1970s. It, along with many other brands like GQ, have destroyed their reputations recently. I was almost a victim of entrapment by GQ magazine. One of their so-called journalists brought a woman to the men's rights conference, the first one, and he made sure she followed me around and sat next to me the whole time. He pegged me as a sap, and meanwhile I figured that if she was busy trying to get me to ask her to touch my pee-pee, then she wouldn't be busy working on trapping anybody else. She ended up finding a victim named Victor Zen, and he made a move on her, and that was all that was needed to provide enough material for the article. Another point that Bob brings up is paternity fraud, specifically how men are forced to support children that aren't even theirs, even though the courts know the paternity doesn't match the man. Government gynocrats don't want to pay, so they get the cuck to do it instead. One man wants to have children in a situation where that can happen to him. Bob says that it's even gotten so bad that sometimes all a woman has to do is point her finger at the richest man she knows, and he's on the hook for Chad's brood. The usual excuse is that it's in the best interest of the child, but no one cares about the best interest of the man, that basically has to pay for a child that isn't even his. The solution would be simple: mandatory paternity testing at every birth, but the state clearly doesn't want to do that either. A state that doesn't call women mothers anymore, but instead birthing people. Next, Bob brings up employment fraud. The steps a woman might take is to get a job with the government, then demand part-time work by getting preggers, and then a few weeks before giving birth, going back to full-time hours, in anticipation that she'll get full maternity benefits at that point. Then opt to double her maternity leave to 12 months instead of 6. I don't know how that works because it's different in every country, and Bob is in Australia. If that's the case, then he should write a book teaching Australian women to rub off the government more than they already have, because he breaks things down in 9 easy steps to follow. The 8th point he brings up is the Safe Schools program encouraging kids to change their sex permanently, before they're even legally old enough to have sex. He says that programs like prepubescent gender reassignment surgery are the embodiment of fourth wave feminism, that this is a disgrace to femininity, masculinity, and humanity itself. Point number 9 is partial birth abortions. Yes, it's sick that babies that are only a few seconds away from being born are now being terminated. First of all, what sick and twisted woman is going to wait that long to have an abortion? And second, as far as I'm concerned, we are a messed up species that legalizes for-profit infanticide. That's why this is being done, because doctors are making money off of it and selling the fetuses. I think the government will eventually have to step in and take the kids up for adoption. But I don't see much hope in Australia or Canada. at least almost half the United States is finally coming to its senses. Speaking of the US, I just learned another level of brilliance of the Founding Fathers. The reason they let each state govern itself for the most part, with there originally being a tiny federal government, was so that each state would actually try different policies and experiments, and which ones worked the best would be adopted by the others. That they are in a sense competing against one another. But in many other countries, you don't have that. If your country sucks, you have to emigrate to another one. America allows people to emigrate internally instead of leaving the West entirely. The last point that Bob makes that makes him lose hope is that the push to fourth wave feminism is now pushing for post-birth abortions, which is just full-on infanticide at this point. He says if approved, it would mean the end of many white male babies. I agree that that would happen and the society would collapse a lot quicker, because there'd be a lot less tax-paying male serfs out there. But at the same time, if women did that, the gender balance would tip into the scales of men again, and there would be more than enough partners for most men. So this basically covers the first half of the chapter. I'll cover the second half in a later video. It offers you ways to survive attacks from crazy feminists. While I obviously don't believe that the Founding Fathers of the United States could have foreseen the rise of feminism and wokeness ruining the country, they're still brilliant in a way, because they set up places for men to go to make sure each state has self-governments. My only criticism for this chapter, Bob, is that one of the 10 points has 7 or 8 separate points under it, and I got a little bit confused. Other than that, I enjoyed the first half of this chapter and I learned a few things that I didn't know. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Bob, also known as Dr. B. Real, for the donation and topic. The link to his book is down below. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that fourth wave feminists are trying to smash civilization, but they don't want to because it's just a great big shit test. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45 US, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the women that want to get abortions for their 5-year-old sons away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.